Blog
Nazim Rashid, and that is the River Nile, and we certainly appreciate his music. This morning, we have a very interesting show for you, and we'd like you to become involved in remembering feelings of success. So stay tuned as Dorothy Rashid, I want to make sure we get her name right because she certainly is a good morning. Forgive the technical difficulties. Part of the technical difficulties, I must admit, are a large part of my lack of technical proficiency. As Professor Applewhite, my expertise is in teaching psychology and counseling people on motivational issues that have disability and at-risk issues. So I am just learning how to put all this stuff together, so please forgive me. We appreciate Blog Talk Radio for always being there and assisting us with our show so that we can be live for you. We have our callers on our switchboard right now that are just lighting up here. We thank you, listeners. Our guest call-in number is 646-727-3758. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning. This is Dorothy.
And Dorothy, we need you for sure. Okay. Please forgive the fact that I had to. Something happened, and I must have hit the wrong buttons there. But I know I was asking for you to come on and review the show description for us. So let me go ahead and make sure that I'm going to acknowledge the other listeners that have called in right now, and we hope that we haven't missed anyone. Let's see if I think this is our co-host here. Good morning, this is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, Nazim Rashid here.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Nazim Rashid. We always appreciate that great music that opens up our show. I know for me, every Saturday morning, I tap my foot and I'm, you know, my fingers are tapping on the keyboard because that music sounds so great. So, listeners, you can get a hold of that album on Renaissance, right?
Well, Amazon has it also. CD Baby has it. JazzRenaissance.com has it. So, or you can plug it into Google, and Google will tell you how to get it. So the album is called Renaissance. The album is called Remembrance.
Remembrance. And the song that I was just playing that opens up our show that Nazim has given us permission to play is called River Nile. And it's just fantastic. Thank you so much. Let's see. We have some other callers here. We'll come back to you, our beautiful co-host, Nazim Rashid. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning. This is Maria.
Maria.
How are you? Okay, well, good. Thank you.
We appreciate your support, and we hope that you had a great holiday break. I know that you had to break from us for a little bit and enjoy your family for Thanksgiving.
Yes. It was nice.
Yeah. Had a great time doing that. Let's see, we have another caller here, and then we'll go back and read our show description. Good morning. This is Denita Applewhite, Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, right Professor here. Applewhite. This is Jerry Govan.
Jerry Govan, one of the authors. And you know what, Jerry? You're an entertainer also. You know that? You're an entertainer. you're not only just a great author, you and your wife, Donna, but you're great entertainers, too. When people listen to you talk about your great book, Take the E Out of Ego and Go, you're also very, very entertaining, and you know how to keep an audience going. So we hope you have some contributions today. Let's listen to what Dorothy's going to share with us about the show description, and we'll come back. Okay to you. So,
all right,
Dorothy.
All right. This episode is full of joy because it takes us back to when our eyes sparkled about getting praise or a rewarding grade. The reality that something stomped out a sparkle in many of us is explored. Nazim Rashid, co-host, will continue a discussion on the disadvantages of denying our reality. Professor Applewhite will extend the discussion on suppression and repression of memory. Many inspirational friends and supporters of the White Apple Institute have been invited to share inspiring excerpts from their books that will help us prepare for success and confidence in the year of 2010. Listeners will learn more about the history of White Apple Institute, the projects we are involved in, and how they can support the mission of White Apple Institute.
Dorothy, you always do such a great job with the description of our show. And, you know, people have told me that when they're listening to the show and you start reading the description, they're taking little notes down of things that they want to say. And we hope that for those of you who are not comfortable with going live on the show, on air, don't forget we do have the chat line open, so you can write to us in chat, and our co-host, Nazim Rashim, will make sure that I get your messages and respond to you. So please make sure that you join us on chat if you're at a computer. If you're not at a computer, then we anticipate that you'll be listening to the show by calling in those numbers. Go ahead and give them to them again, Dorothy.
It's 601.
That's okay. Take your time.
Let me go back right to it.
Things I think our listeners love about us is that we're very human and we're okay with making mistakes.
The talk show is what dial your one. The area code is 646-727-3758.
That's wonderful, Dorothy. Thank you so much. Well, you know what I'd like to start with today, Nazim, because last week we didn't get enough information about what denial really is, and we talked a lot about the spark in our eyes when we first encountered, our first excitement about learning or about getting a good job. And unfortunately, the show had a lot of technical difficulties, so it had to be omitted from our stream, from our show archives. So I'd like to just review a few things on denial from your book and how important it is to accept the reality of where we are right now in our life, and to also look at what things have made us happy in our life and try to integrate that into our present moment. One of the things I was thinking about, Nazim, the other day, and I don't know where I got this from, but that, you know, life is a continuum, and we have talked about that a lot. And for our listeners that are not very clear on what I'm saying, continuum meaning that life goes on. It continues to go on. No matter whether we pass on or whatever, life continues. And so, but with that continuum, it's not like a straight line. It's like our lives take on different paths, and it kind of like it's kind of like a squiggly line. Don't you agree, Brother Nazim?
Yes, yeah, for sure, absolutely.
It's like a squiggly line. We have a lot of detours. You know, when you see the sign up and you're on a highway and you see those detours, and so we have to take those detours in life. And so what I wanted our listeners to understand is that at this very moment, we're actually dealing with our past, our present, and our future, right at this very moment, because we can't go backwards. There's not a place to go backwards unless we open up the door to allow our past to come in and control our future, okay? Or we deny and suppress things that have happened to us without bringing them up and addressing them without denial. So I want to give you a few moments, because I know you're eager to expound on that, because I remember you said to me, gosh, I wish I had more time to talk about this a little more. So I'd like you to expound a little bit more on denial and how that will help us with remembering success so that we can feel the success now and go forward. Can you do that for us?
Sure, of course. Well,
first of all,
denial is going to be the mask or cover up over your successful feelings. So even though you've had various successes and accomplishments in your life, when you hold on to denial, what happens is that you're going to be out of touch with your own successful feelings a lot of times. And this is why it's so very important to understand that there's some things going on in your life that you need to really deal with and reconcile. And there are various ways to do that. See, like those saying goes, no man is an island. You know, there's help out here to help you with those kind of things and so forth. And when you have some traumatic experiences such as, you know, child molestations, you have parents who are drug addicts, so you have broken families, you're tossed around from foster home and so forth, and in and out of juvenile hall, you know, before you're 14, I mean, you have some traumatic experience going on, and now you're living as a you know, functioning adult, and you're taking care of family, but you haven't dealt with a lot of these things in the past. What happens that they haunt you? They cause you some problems. You know, you might be an alcoholic now. You might have problems with communication skills with your spouse. You might have some personality quirks that cause you difficulties on and off the job. And even your quiet moments at home, you don't feel at peace with yourself, you see. So that's why it's so very important to get out of that river called denial and realize it's a fulfilled life.
Like I hear somebody else, I think I was Jerry, that river of denial that can be in the River Nile, okay? I mean, that was too great. Okay, Nazim, you said something a moment ago about no man or woman is an island, and I think that that's a very good point. When we deal with people who are suppressing things that have happened to them in the past, but they feel they're suppressing them, but actually they do come up at different times and hinder them from going forward. And I think that you made a very, very good point about that. People need to understand that you need to find someone to talk to. And most of the time, it's better to find somebody who's totally objective and not a friend. Because
right.
friends love you and are emotional and right and are right or wrong.
Of course.
Right. Yes. So
well, see,
we
though, keep one thing in mind. It's important. See, if you understand communication and listening skills, you know how to be objective, but most of us don't understand that. We always throw our little two bits in there about how we think things should be with someone else's life, you know?
Right, right, exactly. Here, because I think Jerry has something to say, and then I want you to come back to that.
Well, it is interesting in relationships and in life is how we are all interdependent. And so as we look at interdependence, we're not holding the other person up. We're leaning on each other, but not holding each other up. And I think we remember that when we look for somebody. If I have to look for help, I have to remember that I have to look for help my own self as well. So I have to be able to receive as well as give. And as someone gives me some good information, I can't be sitting there saying, well, I've just... forget that, or I just turn my brain on where off where I'm saying yes, but I'm really not listening. So listening becomes an important part, just like this morning. Listening is an important part, and with the little bit of humor of the Nile, that is because the humor of it is that's the truth of how that is, and it's
yeah.
humorous, and so we have to learn to laugh at these little roads and paths that we took that were the wrong road, because if we hold on to it, and can't laugh on it, at it, release it, it hangs around and interferes again.
Yes, it absolutely does. Thank you so much for that comment, Jerry. Tell us a little bit more about how the hanging on to things that we have suppressed in our memory. And listeners, I want to remind you, I'm not going to get into a psychology lesson here, but I just want to remind you that suppression is a very conscious decision that we make to not remember things. Repression is something that goes a lot deeper and is an unconscious effort that we make that means something so traumatic has happened to us that we are not consciously aware of it, and sometimes it comes up, something comes up, but we don't even know what it is because we repressed it so deeply. But this morning, our conversation is truly more about suppression, which is the conscious, the awareness, we just don't want to remember something, okay? And by not wanting to remember it, what we choose, what is it, what we focus on the most about denying is what becomes more persistent in our everyday life. Isn't that true?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So now, please continue.
And that reminds me of a saying called, what you resist persists.
So that's exactly what I was trying to remember, exactly, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's so very important for us to understand this. You know, we cannot have a reconciled life, a life of peace. I'm telling you, you know, when you can sit in your quiet room, look in the mirror, or just be in your solid meditative state, and be totally okay with yourself at a deep level, that takes a lot of soul searching to be connected to that deeper part of yourself. And a lot of us don't have that, you know. We figure that's just the way it is, you know. The husband won't let me do that. The wife won't let me do this. The society won't let me do this. I'm just this. I'm just that. I'm just, you know, all these barriers you put on yourself because some conditioning that you went through earlier in life that you accepted, and it caused the emotional pain. And you figured that's just the way it is. And unfortunately, a lot of us that came through certain religious experiences have had that kind of conditioning to be a chain for us so we can't go forward, you know. And we got to ask ourselves, what did I go through that's not serving me now? You see, what did I go through? You know, I don't care what someone told us that truth really was back in those days. What did I go through that's not serving me right now? If it's not serving you, you need to get rid of it.
We need to get rid of it. That's right. Hold on. Nazim, we have another caller coming on the line. We certainly want to acknowledge everyone with this great knowledge that we're sharing. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. You are on Student to Teacher, and you're live. Tell us your name. Hello? Okay. Maybe we're having some difficulties here, or maybe you'd just like to listen. I'm saying good morning to 602 number. It's a 265. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Oh, okay. Habibullah Salim listening.
Oh, wonderful. Good morning, Habibullah Salim. We certainly hope that you have some wonderful things to share with us about this issue of denial and being able to go back to days when there was happiness and sparkle in our eyes, and keep those issues, those memories as in front of us more than the bad stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So listen a little bit more as Nazim continues his discussion.
Okay. And that's what I was saying, that we have to look at all the things that we are told from parents, peers, preachers, anybody, and we need to assess all of those things to ask ourselves, are those things serving the higher good in me right now? Are those things serving my best interest? You know, do I feel okay with that kind of philosophy conditioning right now? And if it's not, just get rid of it. You don't need to have those things, you know. And I don't care what the voice inside might say by saying, well, if I do that, my family won't like me. You know, if I do that, the church might kick me out. You know, if I do that, my friends will call me a nerd or call me a name, you know, or ostracize me. But
yeah.
See, we can't have any of those things as a guide for us. We have to only look at our higher self, you know, and nurture that part of us only. So if it means you have to separate yourself, you have to separate yourself. You see? Because remember, when you do that, when you let go of something that doesn't serve you, you're actually allowing new connections that do serve you. And the new connections cannot serve you until you get rid of the old connection.
You know,
and
what,
that's so important to understand.
I have a question. I think that you mean something that's been coming out. It's a new wave thought about feng shui, and I hope I'm saying that correctly, and that is when you make your physical environment, you make room in your physical environment so that you can allow more positive energy to enter. And with my work with the brain, I find that when we do just what you were saying, when we move negative things out of our memory, and I mean when we move them out, we're not where we suppress them, but where we acknowledge, okay, this happened, this was then, this is now, okay? And we don't allow them to hinder our progress. That's very important. Nazim, we've got more questions and more comments on what we're doing with this show right now, so let me go ahead and open up for a few new callers who may have some more questions or comments that they want to make about what we're talking about this morning. Hold your thought, please. Okay? Let's see. There's the Duke. Good morning, and this is Professor White. How are you? Good morning. Good morning, 480824. Are we losing you here? Please state your name. We're always patient with our listeners. Good morning.
Yeah, this is Tom Baker.
Good morning,
and
Tom Baker.
And the reason I called, I agree with you have to set your mind straight, and if your mind's in a bad position, then it can hinder you quite a bit.
Yes.
I know that I've had things I never thought I could accomplish and eventually accomplished when I changed my mindset as to whether or not I wanted to do them. I never thought that I'd be the third best swimmer at nationals in the paraplegic program.
That in, is that in basketball, Tom? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Your basketball. Okay, you because you did. I mean, you've got newspaper articles and all kinds of stuff about the work that you've done with not only yourself on the basketball court as a paraplegic using a wheelchair, but you've been such an encouragement to others. And we hope that you continue to do that. For our listeners out there, Tom Baker is the president of the Student Advisory Board. He is the interim president, and he is doing a wonderful job pulling together students who will answer your calls and share some of their stories with you, those of you that are listening out there. And hope you call in to White Institute. And we have one more caller before Nazim continues. He has a few more things he has to share with us. We've got about 31 minutes remaining on the show. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. May I help you? State your name. Take your time. We're at 480255 right now. Okay. We'll come back to you. Something to remember, that many times we have callers who come on that have some difficulties. The telephone use, we have students that come on, listeners that come on that have to use TDY because they are hard of hearing or deaf. And we have a number of students coming on who are blind. So we want to give everyone enough chance to say, hello to us and be patient with them. So if you notice that I give that time to them, please acknowledge that with me. And we'll go back again to that last caller that I was talking to and say good morning again. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite. Are you ready to say your name? 255? Okay. Some of our callers, as we know, are a little, just apprehensive about talking on air. So we encourage you, if you have a use of a computer, to go on and log in to our chat room and have a discussion with us. Okay, Nazim, take it away for a few more minutes here, and then we'll get to some issues on the history of White Apple Institute, okay? All right.
All right, sure. Next. Sure, of course. And continuing where I was last time, we have to understand that as we're looking for a better life, a better way, new positive healing energy, new opportunities, and a change in our outcomes, we have to first look at what we're holding on to first. Because what you're wanting to get will not find you until you let go of what you've been holding on to. And there's a whole thing, as I call the finish line syndrome. And I've seen it so many times in my car, the finish line syndrome. You have someone who's running. They're going there. They're going faster. As soon as they see the finish line, they fall down.
Oh.
They can't seem to make it across the line. They're at it. They're passing people up in the race. They're doing well. They're in front. They see the finish line, they fall down.
You mean right before the finish line, they fall down.
They fall down. And I said, what's going on with this? And so when you ask, he said, what happened? Well, they said, I don't know. We're doing so well. Then they saw the goal. I said, okay, all right, now you got to look at what are your feelings about success? You know, and what happens that a lot of times people are in the race. They want better, but they have some kind of fear of success, fear of accomplishment, fear of really making it.
Do you think sometimes that the fear, even the fear of success, sometimes wins out over the fear of failure? I've seen that in my students where they get right there to the last semester of school, or they're right before a promotion, you know, and they blank out. They're out. They almost sabotage themselves. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm talking about. Right. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It happens, but I'm telling you, all this comes from holding on to something that you don't need to hold, that's not serving you well. Holding on to something that's not serving your higher interest, you see? And as soon as you can let that go and then take on the energy that will propel you to your next life, to your next level, then you'll cross. In fact, then what happens when you start the race, you already see yourself across the finish line. You know, and your mind is already history. You've already accomplished it before you even started.
Well, come on. I know that Jerry or Habibullah has something to say about that.
Well, I'm listening to what's being said, and quite a few things go through my mind. One is income versus outcome. Okay, when we talk about letting something go that's connected to our income, financial income, we have a tendency to suppress the outcome because of the income. Am I making any sense? You understand what I'm saying? If people don't want to lose their job, they're going to give up something, but they say, well, if I give this up, he was talking about giving up something. If I give this up, I'm not going to be employed no more. If I speak up, I'm not going to be. So I suppress or I hold back. I don't say what I need to really say because the fear of losing something that has been taken care of me, even though what's been taken care of me haven't been doing it to the extent that it should.
Right.
So that's a fear. And also I'm looking at also the memory bank. The memory bank that many of us have carried with us for years in our memory bank. And things that have been locked into our genes from past experiences. How do we get those things out without hurting our present situation? And then sometimes it requires being hurt in order to move forward. So have we conditioned ourselves for that hurt in order to move forward? So these are just some thoughts that came to my mind.
Well, you used the word that you took it right out of my mind, my dear brother Habibullah, conditioning. I talk a lot about conditioning, and we are so conditioned sometimes. And Nazim and I have known many students, so conditioned to familiarity of being in an environment that sees failure, the failure.
Oh, it's that self-talk that gets in the way sometimes. I can't finish this. I've never won anything. And winning isn't all the deal. Finishing is the deal. And sometimes those are the words and the mindsets that come in, and all of a sudden you'll see somebody that has a chance to maybe win the race. And you can, because they're behind, and even though they're catching up, they kind of drop their momentum because they don't think they can do it. And so that mind talk comes in all the time. And it's in coaching, and I've done a lot of coaching of swimmers and runners and volleyball players, and it's always the race isn't over till it's over. And finishing second or third is a win, because when you're working, whatever you're doing, being in that race is a win. Because if you finish the race, if you come in dead last, I remember I sponsored one of these 10K, 8K races, and I finished. Here I am, the sponsor of the race, and I finished dead last. But I finished. And I didn't feel very well, but I finished. And that was part of the deal. And that was part of what I said to the group. It's not about how you run the race. It's finishing the race.
I think it was Marty, one of our famous coaches, who said, it's not how you fall, how you get up. Okay?
Absolutely.
If we can instill that in our students who are listening out there, and our teachers. Let's not forget, our teachers are our students also. We are all students and teachers interchangeably. That's why our show is called Student to Teacher. And so for all of us in our lives, we can relate to some of the things that we're talking about right now, and we can relate. Let's go back just for a moment to the factor of the sparkle. The sparkle was there when you started the race, okay? The sparkle was there when you were preparing going to school or getting the new job. It was there. You were excited. And then something happened, okay? Even with new marriages, we find this happening, or even marriages of many years. All of a sudden, the sparkle leaves, and there's a reason for the sparkle leaving. We'd like to always blame it on somebody else. It always makes it easier, doesn't it, Nazim? To blame it on somebody else.
Right, that's very easy.
But it's really what we have suppressed what we are not willing to address in our lives, what we keep denying about our past and about what has happened to us and what really hinders our feelings of success. So we need to remember our feelings of success and try and acknowledge our feelings of failure. We're not saying, I don't hear anyone saying that you never need to think about the failure. It's never going to come up again if you do this right. Everyone is acknowledging that you're going to have these memories because your brain does not erase a memory bank. Right, Habibullah?
Yeah.
Exactly. And also, when you were talking about blame, they say blaming is like keeping your feet on the brakes, and you want to go forward, but you got your feet on the brakes. And they said, until you release, take your feet off the brakes or your foot off the brakes, you're not going to go forward. And say, usually when you do take your foot off the brakes, you can even feel the vehicle jumping forward. It jumps forward. It doesn't even, it's been anxious to go forward all the time, but you've had your feet on the brakes because it's somebody else. And the real deal is it's inside of us. It's inside of us. You know, are we going to think the way we should think and do what we need to do? So, if something is heavy on you, you don't blame the thing that's on you. You just push it off. You find a way to get it off. If someone tie your hands, you chew on the rope. Whatever you can do to get the rope off of you, you don't sit around and just wait and hope something happens. In some cases, you may have to do that, but in most cases, there's something you can do.
But you have to put the wheels in motion, and I think that that's what Nazim is saying also. You've got to put the wheels in motion. You've got to enter the race, like Jerry says. You have to get there no matter what. You just keep on going no matter whether you finish last and feel good that you were there, that you participated. And I'm so happy to have all of these fine intellectual participators on this call because it always makes it better for students and teachers who are listening even outside of the United States, because we have a lot of international listeners that come online and listen to us. We know that some of the things we say may indeed not be within a specific culture because we speak from the American culture. However, there are some generalizations, some general ideas that can cover all ground. Don't you agree? We are universal concepts. These are universal concepts we speak about.
And the thing is that you don't want to get back up with the thought of saying, I'm going to end up right back down again.
Right.
People get back up, but they get back up with the wrong thoughts. So, again, it's about what's within. How are you using what's within? And are you making the best adjustment with that?
When you say they get back up with the wrong thoughts, would you expound a little bit on what do you mean by wrong thoughts?
Well, the thought that I fell and I'm going to get up, but I know I'm going to fall again. I'm going to get back up and do it. I'm going to take this test over again, but I know I'm not going to pass it. We say to ourselves, not even knowing it many times, that we're going to fail, and then we end up failing because we program ourselves to do it. So even though we get back up, we have to get back up with a new mind. We have to get back up with a new mind. We don't want to get back up with that same mind.
Thank you very much for saying that, because Nazim and I deal with many students who call us about the GED. And for those of you who are in other places listening to us, the GED is the equivalent exam for high school. And some people have dropped out of high school and not returned. And so when they begin to return, what we encourage them to do is take the exam first, to become familiar with the exam. And you'd be surprised how many times people actually pass the exam because they already have the knowledge there. The knowledge is already there, and it just needs to be brought up. But again, back to what you were saying, for those that do not pass the exam, encourage them, and we hear it all the time, just like you said, well, I don't want to try it again because I failed this time and I don't remember it and I don't know what to do. And we have to really support them. That's what White Apple Institute is about. It's about supporting people through these crisis moments, okay, of feeling that they don't want, they're not going to be successful at school or work. So we appreciate you bringing that up. We've got about 17 minutes remaining, and I do want to go over some history of White Apple Institute to encourage people to support us, as Dorothy will tell you about in just a moment. Maria, is there anything that you wanted to say about remembering feelings of success yourself? Or Tom, anybody that wants to jump in at this moment?
I was going to say not specifically about feelings of success, but I'll give you an example in sports, and it works this way in life too. I used to run high hurdles, and I always finished dead last on my track team in the hurdles, okay? And then I switched over to the 880, and I was finishing second and third and eventually got my medal. And
please define for our listeners, Tom, we're not familiar with a lot of those terms you're using. What term was that, AD? What is it? You said then you switched over to...
I switched over to the 880. That's two times around the track. And
okay, thank you.
And then I got better. And sometimes in college we have to do that. Like, for example, if you're not good at writing, then don't get a major in English, you know. And you may discover that in college is, hey, I'm not very good at what I'm majoring in. Maybe I need to major in something else.
Mm-hmm.
And stay in the race, but just shift gears and get into a part that you're better at, you know. If you're a sprinter, you should get in a 100-yard dash, not a mile. And if you're a miler, you don't want to get in a 100-yard sprint, you know.
You're saying that when we're talking about success, you know, and remembering these feelings of success, that even if we didn't make it all the way, we need to not just evaluate how we want to go back and do it again. We might want to evaluate, is there an alternative that I feel that I could do better with? Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly. Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
And I think, Jerry, what do you think about that? Is that a fair idea?
Well, that's the way to, you know, training gets you to one thing, and success is just find where you're comfortable with and what you do, because that's the way that the track people do. That's they find their best spot in what
mm-hmm.
they do. And some of them start with, it's just a desire to do it.
You know,
I want to learn to run a mile. I remember when I ran my first mile, I was dead last. I can tell you that. And I said, well, I'm going to learn to do this at least so that I can get to this time. I never knew I knew I was never going to be a miler, but I was a swimmer. In swimming, I excelled, and that's where. So I put more time, and I enjoyed that. And you have to have fun with whatever you choose, because it's really about enjoying life. Life is a journey, and it's fun. School has to be fun.
We can't be afraid to allow ourselves to be in the presence of others who are successful and learn from the others. You know, people who constantly fail, I notice many times they are surrounded by other people who fail. And if they are in the presence of people who are successful, they fail to ask the kinds of questions that's going to help them improve themselves. So they say, if you want to be a bum, hang out with bums. If you want to be a lawyer, associate and hang out with lawyers. And these, you know, this is all about life. Who are you being breastfed by? You know, who's breastfeeding you?
Right. Wow, that's a bad.
Anita, I'd like to just tell you just a quick little story. Last Saturday morning, I culminated a 40-year dream and had my first shipment of my new body lotion for athletes and arthritics and whatnot shipped to my home. And we had many roadblocks during that 40 years. Either the formula wouldn't pass the heat test, or the formula had something that we didn't like in it. And we finally found the right formula and put it in production. And here it is. So you
mm-hmm.
stick with it, whatever it is. If it's a month, you stay with it.
Yeah.
So I was excited as a teenager having his 16th birthday or whatever, you know. It was just, I was like having a brand new baby. It was awesome.
Well, tell you what, let me just go ahead and put in a plug for you, and Dorothy will make sure that she adds this to our resources. For those of you who are interested in learning more about this lotion, and I have tried it myself personally and found great relief in my feet and legs. If you're interested in finding more information about Jerry Govan's lotion, contact White Apple Institute, and we will make sure that he gets the message. He's one of our greatest supporters. Dorothy, would you give us the information on White Apple Institute so our listeners can write this down?
Yes. It's our local phone number here in Arizona is 480-659-8582, and our website is whiteappleinstitute.org.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you very much. And Dorothy's going to have a few more things to share with us because our time is moving on, but we want to make sure that we give Nazim time to close on this concept of suppression and remembering the sparkle. So, Nazim, please close for us on anything that you want to say again about denial.
Well, yes. Something I said last week that probably because of some problems we had on the air that probably might not have got transmitted, but we had to watch where we're looking. Where we're looking and so forth. An idea that Habibullah talked about who's breastfeeding you, that's a very, very good picture to keep in mind. Very, very good. You know,
well,
where you're looking, and a lot of times we're going one way, we're looking back as we're going forward. And and what happens, where you look is where you're going to be. You see, and so what's motivating you? Where you came from or where you're going to? You see, and that's very important. That's very important. So, again, if you want to have a better life, you have to completely let go. When you let go, that means you're not looking back at it anymore, you know, and that's very important. If you look at the picture of, you know, remember Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah story where, you know, his wife looked back and she turned to salt, that kind of thing. Well, symbolically, what happens is that her heart was still back there and so forth, and what happened by her heart being there, then she became a part of that destruction. You see? So we have to go forward. We have to keep looking forward. What do we want? Not what we don't want. And let that desire occupy our mind instead of what we don't want occupying our mind. And even when we talk, if we say we don't want war, we don't want fighting, we don't want terrorism, mind does not understand the don't. It's not, you know, no. What you're saying is your mind says, I want drugs. I want terrorism. I want these things. You see, could you hear that word is there, and that word is occupying your mind. So you always ask yourself, what do you want? You know, if you say, I don't want poverty, your mind's saying, I want poverty, because the word poverty is there. You know,
right.
Put what you want to have, not what you don't want to have.
Right, exactly. So instead of poverty, we need to say we need to have more love in our world. We need to have more, and we need to increase our vocabulary and more positive things. We have one last caller that we can take in with 8 minutes remaining on the show. Thank you so much, Nazim, our wonderful co-host, and all of our participators in this call. You're calling in from 602-418. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. You're on air. You're on air.
Hi, this is Beverly.
Beverly
Polonitz.
Beverly Polonitz.
Right.
Soon to be Dr. Polonitz. Okay.
That's exactly right. It's been a pleasure to listen in this morning on the call, and I was very connected with some of the things that the guests were saying, especially the one about the attitude when you fail and what attitude you get up with. And I wanted to just add a little bit to that. In that even though we may fail many, many times, that we still must have the persistence to go on, like the gentleman 40 years to get his product to market. You can't give up. When you give up, you don't know that next moment, that next day, that next action may be the moment when you just totally succeed in what it is that you're attempting to do. So I felt very connected with what was saying because I've had of course, my failures along the way, and recently I had a very big one. However, I found this today very encouraging for me also to just get up and keep trying over and over again. And so I just, you know, wanted to say thank you all for the great conversation today, and I look forward to being a part of the next conversation with White Apple Institute. It's a great thing that's happening here. Thank you.
We want to remind our listeners also that Dr. Polnitz, soon to be Dr. Polnitz, in 2010, as a matter of fact, is very involved in network marketing and the concept of how people can build an income. And she is doing this as a doctoral research study. So if you want to connect with her, make sure you call White Apple Institute, we will make sure that we connect you to Doc Bev, which is also her trade name, and she has some wonderful products to share with you. So we'll make sure we add you to our resource list, and especially being that you are part of our board of directors also. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you all for calling in. With about 6 minutes remaining, and before Dorothy gets into the resources and sponsors, I would like to share, and I'm going to have to do this again next week with you, because there are so many organizations that we are part of, but I think that it's important for you to know what we do as an organization, that we are not, yes, we provide small grants to students of disabilities and at-risk issues. Risk issues could be language, growing up in a disadvantaged community or household, and trying to go to college and to get a good job and or stay in a good job. So if you know anyone who's having challenges with things, make sure you let them know that there is an organization out there that will support them and assist them in getting resources for these things. One of the largest agencies that we support is the Bazelon Center for Mental Health, and that is Judge Bazelon started this organization as an advocacy group for people with disabilities to know the law of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And believe it or not, in our society, there are many injustices. And one of the things that we are fighting for at White Apple Institute is an international disability act. And so we want everyone around the world, regardless of their culture, their attitudes and beliefs, to be part of the growth. And just because they may not have the ability to think like because I have a disability in my brain, or I have one leg or one arm or whatever it could be. We want you to know that there are things that you can still do. We are experts in finding alternatives for you. I was speaking to a young man the other day who was actually in tears. He cannot go back from a contractor. He cannot climb anymore. And so things he shared with him is the ability to become a for his company. Now he is talking to his employer about he still stays within the environment that he enjoys. So for right now, I'm going to stop with the Bazelon Center for Mental Health and the Department of Peace that we are also involved in. And then next week, we'll continue to talk about the organizations that we support. Dorothy, can you tell us a little bit about how our listeners can support our work in this month of December?
Yes. One way is to go to the website, whiteappleinstitute.org, and you can make a donation there or purchase a membership there. They start at $12. Mm-hmm. And also, by joining whiteappleinstituteblastoff.com, when you shop there, you'll get rebates and coupons and discounts, but you also will be, a little piece of that will also be put into whiteappleinstitute.com.
They don't have to, they're not going to spend any more money than they would normally spend if they were shopping online.
That's correct. It's free. It's free to join. So it's a nice way.
They get money back, right?
Right.
They get money back, and then they also help us.
That's correct.
Because we are all, by the way, listeners, we are all volunteer staff. No one gets paid at White Apple Institute except those contractors who come in and do clerical work or something very specific with our computer systems. Outside of that, all the people on our board, our student advisory board, are not paid any salary to do this work. They do this out of the kindness of their heart. And we reach out from Australia to Thailand to Africa, to parts of Africa. So we invite you to call people and let them know. Anything else? We've got about 1 minute remaining here. We certainly want to wish all of our listeners much love and peace. We have a few sponsors. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is Tom again. One thing that's true, too, is to try different stuff when you're young, because I had no idea what I wanted to do, even after I got out of college, and then I tried working with the mentally ill and just enjoyed the heck out of it. You know, for you, it might be something else, but try things where you're in college and high school and do volunteer work and get an idea of what you want to do when you, so to speak, grow up. And also, don't worry about the fact you don't know what you're all about, because when you get to 50, you realize nobody knows what it's all about.
Oh, 40 seconds remaining.
Dr. Applewhite.
Yes, the people, I'll be right with you. Let me welcome this caller. Yes? 255. Is there a 255 number that just joined us just now? Hello? Yes. Hello? Yes. Please, state your name.
Colette.
Hi. Hello, Colette. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're just getting ready to close our show. We've got less than 15 seconds, but we enjoyed calling as our legal advisor for White Apple Institute. Thank you so much for calling in. I hope you heard a little bit of our great conversation.
Yes, I did.
We wish you all much love and peace. Please give us a call. Call Dorothy at our White Apple Institute number, and please don't hesitate ever. And I wanted to say a few words to us through our chat line. We will get back to you. We see that you have some definite questions, and we will take care of that. Thank you so much. Much love and peace. Talk to you next Saturday. This is Professor Applewhite. Thank you so much.